fathers gave the free press the protection it must have to fulfill its essential role in our democracy. The press was to serve the governed, not the governors. The government's power to censor the press was abolished so that the press would remain forever free to censure the government. The press was protected so that it could bear the secrets of government and inform the people. Only a free press, unrestrained press, can effectively expose deception in government.
And those are the words of Justice Hugo Black. I want to thank you, Margaret Kuntzler and Tarek Ali, co-editors of the new book In Defense of Julian Assange. I'm Amy Goodman. Tonight, we'll be with Juan Gonzalez at the People's Forum in New York.
Do you have an insatiable appetite for jazz music? Well, why not join me, Earl Jones, your host of the Jazz Horizon Show, every Friday starting at 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. for an evening of jazz a la carte, with appetizing entrees from the menu of your favorite jazz classics to sopping your chops with the taste of contemporary jazz, as well as pre-recorded jam sessions featuring local as well as national artists. So, for an evening of delectable sounds designed to satisfy your exquisite taste, join me, Earl Jones, your host of the Jazz Horizon Show, every Friday from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. right here on WHFR 89.3 FM, the station that is making waves.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Start your exciting career as a surgical technologist now. Henry Ford College has a two-year program with a 98% employment rate. Job offers are up by 24% all over the United States. You'll graduate with an associate degree and hands-on surgical experience. Call a health career advisor today at 313-317-6845.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. It drove me crazy. It got so bad, I couldn't do my homework. I couldn't concentrate. I absolutely refused to let any of my friends come to our house for any reason. I would have been humiliated if anyone found out how much my dad drank and how loud my mom screamed at him. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful. The only thing that happened is my mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. Her relationship with my dad really changed. I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Al-Ateen. I wanted to see if I could have a better relationship with my dad. I'm sure glad I did. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Al-Ateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon or go to alanon.org.
Attention licensed practical nurses. Are you looking for a convenient way to earn your RN degree? Do you need the flexibility of a program who recognizes you for your previous hard work as an LPN? Here's great news. Henry Ford College has exactly what you're looking for with their Advancement LPN to RN Bridge program. You can advance your career and become a licensed registered nurse. Want more info? Give us a call at our School of Health and Human Services at 313-845-9877. That's 313-845-9877.
And welcome to the November 22nd, 2019 edition of the WHFR New Journal. We are today honored to have Dr. Caroline Peltz as my interviewee. She is just one of those nurses that exemplifies what nursing is all about and quite possibly what the public thinks of nursing. Now, just a little bit about nursing for folks who out there may not know as much about it, but nursing is a profession within the healthcare sector that is focused on the care of individuals, families, and communities so they may attain, maintain, and recover optimal health and quality of health. And we are differentiated from other healthcare providers because you have a cosmos of providers out there, including occupational therapy, physical therapy, doctors, nurse practitioners. You know, you have social workers, you have certified nurse educators, you have certified nursing assistants, you have all kinds of specialties. And nurses practice in many of these different specialties. That's one of the great things about nursing. It has many areas that nurses can lateral into that have often happened. I myself have lateraled into several different areas of nursing and enjoy working collaboratively with physicians, therapists, the family, the patient's family, and other team members. And we focus on treating illness to improve the quality of life. And in the last, several decades, the advocation of the nurse practitioners come out and DNPs and PhDs to make doctors of nursing. Dr. Caroline Peltz is a doctor of nursing and was kind enough to have me interview her on this special edition of Perspectives in Nursing. Normally, I do a show on my regular show, Square One, every May on the first day of Nurses Week. But today, I want to thank the WHFR management, Susan McGraw, Lara, Alan, Mike, and the rest of them for allowing me to sit in today. So anyway, let's get to the interview with Dr. Caroline Peltz. Check 1, 2, test, testing 1, 2. We have to make sure the microphone is working. Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. This is a special Perspectives on Nursing edition, a continuance of our annual program we do every May for Nurses Week. I am honored to have with me Dr. Caroline Peltz, faculty at both Henry Ford College and Eastern Michigan University, doctor of nursing, educator. I'm sure I can find a bunch of other titles, but how you doing, Caroline?
I'm very good. Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing well. So tell me a little bit about your background. I know we share a common past at Oakwood.
Yes, we used to wave at each other across the hall, I believe, way back in the early 80s. So I've been a nurse since 1983, and I've seen the profession change across the continuum of care. I'm a critical care nurse by trade, and I have a master's in health administration and was a nursing leader for a period of time in my career. Then I decided to have a family and changed my career path into education and pursued a master's of science in medical surgical nursing and then pursued a PhD in nursing education.
Well, that's very impressive. You know, you're a well-rounded person in many ways.
We try to be.
Well, you have to be, you know, especially having been a nurse as long as we have. I also graduated in 1983.
Yeah, see, we go a long way back, Sam.
Yeah. Where did you get your nursing education originally
at? I did my undergraduate at U of M in Ann Arbor.
Oh, very good. So, yeah, I started at Henry Ford, and
now, and here you are running the radio show. Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I enjoy doing it, and I'm very gracious to the management of WHFR letting me feature nurses. And since you are also faculty at Henry Ford, it fits right in with our broadcast stuff per FCC and all that kind
That's
of thing.
That's right.
You know.
So. Absolutely. I run the mentoring program at Henry Ford College.
Oh, very good.
And actually, it's based on my work that I did for my doctoral studies, where I surveyed all of the students in the state of Michigan to find out what their biggest supports that they felt they needed in order to be successful
in a nursing program. And believe it or not, the similarities throughout the state for both baccalaureate and associate degree programs is the students say, number one is they need psychological support, number two is academic support. So no surprise there, but I think what happens a lot of times is we try to be a little bit prescriptive with what students need instead of hearing their voice and being respectful of what they are asking for instead of what we feel they need.
Did you find much differences in this study between rural and urban nursing programs and
students? I didn't really look at the demographics of where the programs were located, but I did look at, I compared associate degree nursing student programs with baccalaureate degree nursing student programs.
Oh, very good. Yeah. So that led you to getting into education more.
Yes, that was my dissertation. So, yep, it all kind of came together, so that was great.
It is. So how did you end up wanting to run a program like this where you're mentoring the new nurses, and they do need it? I mean,
I'm committed to the success of students. So as I've been teaching for almost three decades, I see students struggle. And I think it's very important that if you're committed to making a contribution to the profession, that you need to be sure that who you're supporting, you're meeting their needs. So I have a very big passion for helping students be successful.
I've noticed that. I like the way the students respect you also, because when you come into a class and you announce Future Nurses of America, they start putting down what they're doing, and they turn to you and listen.
Well, I think it's important that as you meet people that have decided to make nursing be their career, that they do realize that you've leveled the playing field and that you're preparing them to be your colleague, and that it's very humbling to become a nurse, and that you really have to drive that home on your initial interactions with them so that they can always be an advocate for patient safety and helping the patient get where they need to be on the health wellness continuum.
Well, that's a very important thing. And do you find that nurses today, the training or the support you have to give them is any different than, say, two or three decades ago when you first started in education?
Well, I think that the acuity, because patients are living longer, technology has blossomed. We know so much more about disease processes and disease entities that I think that the graduate nurse is more taking care of a patient that you or I typically would have seen in a critical care area or on a step-down unit. And that the patients that are in the critical care areas, you and I probably never truly even encountered that magnitude of care.
Well, that's true. And it seems to me that in years past, patients came in, it was one primary diagnosis they were hospitalized for, but now they come with a multitude of accompanying diagnoses that are usually as important as their primary.
Exactly. So I think as we are educating, you know, my area of education, although I teach across the continuum, and I love helping graduate and doctoral students, I always have had a passion for the new learner because I feel that once you create the foundation, just like you create the base in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that if we create a solid foundation in those first 15 weeks of their education, that it's going to sustain them throughout their career. So I have a very strong passion for making sure that the new learner is equipped with the right toolbox after their first semester of schooling.
Well, that's true. And support is more important than ever these days to retain nurses. Do you find that mentorship extends beyond their graduation, and do you continue to support students even after they've graduated and moved on?
Well, the key to mentoring is building relationships and building relationships of trust. So there are always individuals. You can't expect every person that you come in contact with is going to become somebody that's going to have an excellent relationship with you, or that you have good chemistry, that they're going to want to connect with you. But if you can change the discipline one starfish at a time, I think you're doing pretty good. So over the years, I would say I have several students that I, more than several, that I still keep in touch with. But in a relationship, you also have to know, besides me supporting them, that I get a lot back from them in regards to changes that are going on in practice, different directions of nursing that they teach me. So after they graduate, it's more of a real collegial exchange where we really bridge that gap between the student-faculty relationship.
Oh, so they keep you current on issues that you may not have contact with.
Otherwise, yep.
That's very
good. So it works out real well. Because it's very humbling. I have a lot to learn throughout my career. I don't know it all. I never will.
Well, I don't think any of us ever will, and that's a good attitude, too, to have. I believe that helps make for a dynamic educator.
Well, thank you.
And so you're on staff at Henry Ford and also at Eastern. How do you juggle both of these responsibilities?
Henry Ford's not a new place for me. When I was in my transition from being a nurse leader and doing per diem shift work, I was adjunct faculty in the Allied Health Program at Henry Ford, taught medical terminology and pharmacology for years. And so I've been a part of the Henry Ford system for quite a while. And I do have a passion for all types of nursing students. And there's a special connection that you have when you're working with somebody that is in an associate degree program as well as baccalaureate degree programs, that you want to stay and feel connected. So I've always felt a connection to Henry Ford College and really embraced the opportunity to become the M of the CHAMPS acronym for Henry Ford College as they revisited their curriculum and were striving to increase their NCLEX pass rates, which they have done incredibly well and now have exceeded the national average for performance for multiple semesters. So it's a privilege to run the mentoring program for them and to have been invited to develop and implement that for them.
Well, that's very good. That sounds like you have two full-time jobs, really. I mean, between the two of them.
Not really two full-time jobs. I think when you have a passion for what you do, that it's not necessarily work all the time. So it's just a passion for making sure that I'm getting the next generation ready to be the best that they can be.
Well, you enjoy your work, and that's important, I think, because just having been a nurse as long as I have, working a lot of different areas, I've seen so many people that are, it's just become a job to them.
Yes.
And I think that once it becomes like that, then maybe it's time for a directional change or a change in attitude or something, because...
Well, and people need to realize that nursing is such a broad profession that you can go any direction you choose, and that if there is somebody that's out there that's working that is dissatisfied, that they should try another area of nursing and not leave the discipline because they aren't happy where they're at. If you went to a restaurant and were served a bum meal and you were looking for a great steak dinner, you would find a different restaurant that met and exceeded your expectations for that steak meal. So that's what I try to tell the nursing students, because sometimes we know through trial and error, oftentimes the first thing that you try to do may not always be your dream job or your ideal fit, but definitely can be used as a stepping stone for gaining the experiences that you need.
Well, that's very true, because I remember the last recession we had, and a lot of new nurses I would run into had, you know, they had had factory jobs or they worked at grocery stores that had closed or something. And I remember particularly one new nurse, and I don't know if she ended up staying, but she says, I've never worked as hard in my life. And she was in her early 40s, and it was her second career. But, you know, it's very attractive. You know, the money is not bad, but it's not for everybody.
Exactly.
And education has changed so much over the years. I recall having basically lectures when I was in classes. Of course, they had slideshows and some things, but the dynamics of education seem to change from generation to generation.
Well, I think the structure of the nursing programs really hasn't changed, and I can say that because at EMU, the students are still in a similar curriculum to what I went through when I did my undergrad at U of M. I will say that the curriculum at Henry Ford has changed in that they've gone from a medical model to a concept-based model.
Oh, what are the differences between a medical and a concept-based?
Medical model means that as you're going through your education that you are talking about disease states and disease processes as you navigate through a course, whereas with a concept-based curriculum, you talk every semester about the same concepts, and through those concepts, disease processes are incorporated. For example, oxygenation, mobility, infection control, safety. So those are key concepts that are discussed across the curriculum at Henry Ford.
Okay, and so how does that differ, say, with Eastern Michigan? You know, I mean, do you find a big difference between the way that things
are
taught?
Well, in the end, it's all about preparing for licensure.
Well, that is true.
It's all about preparing for licensure. So I think it has to do a lot with the faculty that are teaching and about the population that you're serving. So I wouldn't be expert enough to say whether or not, in my opinion, a medical model versus a concept-based model, one is better than the other, because they're both very effective in achieving successful NCLEX RN pass rates for first-time test takers.
Well, that may be an interesting study to do, you know, to see if there is a...
I'm sure somebody out there is doing it.
I'm sure they are, too. So, since I've got into nursing and I was, you know, my bachelor's is in theater arts management, which, of course, is a little different than nursing, but I find that the amount of research, you know, that nursing does is amazing, because I knew that there's articles, but having not had been at school for a while, I'm discovering a lot of things, and you know, the quest for new knowledge does excite me, and it just, that's the one thing that I've always found was nice about nursing. You could lateral off into something else that may have more appeal for you.
Yeah, you're never boxed in the discipline, that's for sure.
Yeah. And do you think that the way that teaching these days is conducted is a little different? I mean, you know, having this generation now that grew up with the cell phones and video games and YouTube versus, say, 20 years ago when they basically grew up with MTV and a calculator.
Well, we definitely have a lot of different learning styles that are out there, and I think that's important, but I also think you need to pay attention to the educational research that is done and how students continue to be successful, and the literature is starting to swing back that the old method of taking notes with paper and pencil reading before class and comparing your notes to the textbook after class is becoming more in vogue than it used to be. And I think that's thanks to our researchers in education that say that the brain, you know, files and categorizes information better when all of our senses are used in the learning process. And sometimes when students are using the keyboard on a computer, the literature is showing that because the way they are so much into technology and how quickly they process and move through information, that if they go back to paper and pencil writing and paper and pencil technique, they're actually gaining more because they're using their multiple senses.
I agree with that. I do. You know, I see the place for a lot of the technological strategies that are employed now, but I've always learned best from lecturing myself, but maybe that has to do with the way I was brought up. I don't know, but I believe that you're right, though. The return to paper and pencil in a lot of ways has been very beneficial.
Exactly.
As far as, you know, the educational requirements, you know, I remember back when I was in school and when you were in school also that, you know, they had talked about the, you know, eventually every nurse will have a BSN and you know, they made great strides for that. But I remember saying to myself, I says, I don't know if that'll happen in my lifetime. But now it's starting to.
I think we're going to really see that shift. I agree with you. I think that nursing is, you know, nursing is a relatively young discipline compared to medicine.
Yes.
And as we have evolved, being a female dominant profession, that is also changing through the years. But I think that you are going to see us finally be more recognized as our own discipline, get unattached from the room charge. You know, right now we're still there with dietary and housekeeping when a patient is in the hospital on their bill.
Yeah.
So we don't bill directly for our services yet. And that's just because we're young and we need to continue to build our evidence base on practice. And in order to build that evidence base, people are going to need to have a baccalaureate education. So I think to continue to elevate the standard of our discipline, to create our evidence base for what we're doing, that we are going to continue to see a shift in our education. I don't feel that associate degree programs should be eliminated. Associate degree programs are great. They are very affordable, and there are so many different avenues. Somebody with an associate degree can obtain a bachelor's degree once they're out in the workforce. So if it's a matter of socioeconomics or income or family responsibilities, there's nothing wrong with pursuing an associate's degree,
right,
and following it up with a baccalaureate degree. But I do think that people that are going into the discipline should have as their goal that I am going to need a baccalaureate education in order to best represent my profession to increase the evidence base for practice. And I don't think anybody goes into nursing with not wanting to be a change agent. And I think knowledge is power. And when
Indeed.
We start speaking with people that are entering the discipline through all programs, that they really do understand what they're signing up for.
Yes, and I agree with that because pretty much every other profession, the entry level is a baccalaureate,
mm-hmm.
and I see nursing should be that way too. You know, another part of nursing, though, is the licensed practical nurse, and where do you think that this eventually fits into the equation? Because it's
the LPN?
Yes.
I think that, you know, the role of the LPN when I was a new nurse and when you were a new nurse, I probably learned as much from the LPNs as I did the RNs.
I say that all the time myself.
And I think that what has happened over the decades that you and I have become nurses is that the LPNs have been not forced, but have been guided to more follow along their practice guidelines that they're taught, rather than having supplemental education by places where they're employed to build on their educational experiences. So I will never belittle any type of nursing education or say it doesn't fit, and I think that we should have programs that allow people to go from an LPN to a BSN.
Oh, I think Henry Ford has that.
Yeah, I believe they do, but I don't know enough about it to speak on it.
Oh, okay. Well, I kind of
have always wondered if maybe LPN program should become like an ADN program, since the goal for registered nurses is to eventually have a bachelor's. I felt pretty prepared having gone through an associate's program, and I would have gone through a bachelor's program myself, but I already had a bachelor's, and, you know, it was time to get out in the world and work and not just keep going to school. So I can see where the bridge program is really a good thing. So how many students do you have in the bridge program from RN to BSN?
Here?
Yeah.
Well, actually, we here at EMU are we do not have an in-seat program anymore for the RN to BSN. It's strictly an online program.
I see.
And it's a 7.5-week carousel model, where after the student takes their beginning course, they can navigate through that carousel in any sequence of courses that they would like. So I think it's very convenient for nursing students, nurses who are practicing, to return to school, because they can step on and off, if you call it a merry-go-round, a carousel, at any point in time when it fits into their schedule and in their career.
Yeah, that works out well, I would think, since most hospitals now require that new ADNs that they hire get a BSN within X amount of years.
Right.
And, I mean, the only shortcoming, as I can see to it, is that, you know, they'll pay for some of the costs. It may not cover all of it, but it's an incentive, I believe, for and rightfully so. Because bachelor's, you know, I feel better that that way. Having gotten into the master's program here and having a bachelor's, I've had to play a little catch-up.
Well, it takes time. Education takes time. And is there really a timeline for education?
I don't
believe
there is.
You can go to school till any time you want. Excuse me, I need to speak.
Oh, that's okay.
Excuse me.
Don't worry about it. You've heard me cough a few times.
There you go.
Yep. And, you know, I often myself have thought of the LPNs as a pool of RNs, since, you know, there's a shortage, of course, of both. Could possibly help fill the needs. I mean, I know they've tried all kinds of different things. I mean, I've noticed a lot of places that I've gone to doing home care, they'll have patient care techs passing the medications to residents. And I'm not convinced that that's totally safe, but then again, you know, it's part of what reality is these days. Why would they not want to have an in-seat program? Was it just that it was impractical for the students?
I think a lot of students still like going to school face-to-face.
Yeah.
But I think that people don't want to be driving to a campus.
Yeah.
After they've done a work day. And I think if we could be hosted at hospitals and places out in the community, that would be more convenient. That also can work. But then again, you know, you end up with higher lab fees, and it's probably more of a cost issue.
Yes.
Than anything. And, of course, the cost then falls on the student.
Yes, of course. Well, you, having been an educator as long as you have, do you have any particular favorite areas that you enjoy teaching more than others?
I'm a critical care nurse by trade, so I enjoy teaching medical surgical nursing, fundamentals.
Yes.
I enjoy teaching physical assessment. I like teaching basic writing classes. I like helping graduate students work on their thesis. I like working with doctoral students on their dissertations. So just kind of all across the spectrum. Like I said, with the profession of nursing, just like as an educator, you're never bored. There's always a variety of things that are going on.
That's very true. That's very true. So do you miss working? Do you still do any hospital work?
I enjoy teaching clinical.
Okay.
And I try to teach clinical every year. so that I can stay current with what's going on in practice. I still keep up my ACLS, my BLS, my portfolio to return to the hospital is always kept up to date.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I have to say that, you know, I work extended care now. And, you know, a lot of the LPN schools bring in students and some of the RN schools. And I always have enjoyed taking them on wound care rounds with me, you know. Cause
are you a wound care nurse?
I am a wound care nurse. And I do believe that it helps them to see some things that they may not want to see. And it may be something that may help them decide. Because a lot of students, you know, they're taking the classes, but they're not really sure if they really want to be a nurse, you know, because I
right.
think to be a nursing student, you have to really make a commitment.
Definitely.
And you seem to be have a knack for helping them make that decision. I mean, you're very attentive to the students.
Well, I think that you have to enjoy what you do.
Of course.
I think that's number one. And I do enjoy helping people get acclimated to nursing. So very much have a passion for it.
I agree with you. Well, you know, I remember when I first was oriented, I, you know, almost felt in a way it was good, but kind of thrown out on the floor, you know, well, we're done. You can ask questions.
I think a lot of that has changed. I think that a lot of the hospitals have gone to nurse residency programs. And I think that that helps with the recruitment and the retention of graduate nurses. So I think graduate nurses now have a better opportunity for being successful and not being scared away.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. I mean, you know, because that first day out on the floor and you're by yourself. And,
uh-huh.
I mean, you're not necessarily by yourself, but you can always ask questions, but your fellows have their workload to do, and all of a sudden it's, you know, your time to bully your for your share. And
that's right.
You know, I find that that's very, you know, at first it was kind of almost terrifying, but once you got used to it, you know, and I think it helps being adaptable and learning quickly,
right.
You know, which I believe nursing school helps to try you tries to help you learn in those ways.
Exactly.
Thinking on your feet, I suppose they call it. What was your biggest accomplishment that you feel, or some of the bigger accomplishments that you've had as a nurse and as an educator?
I don't know. I think when you think about what you've done throughout your career, I think in practice, when I was a graduate nurse and balloon pumps were first coming into saving people's lives and allowing the heart to rest, that I helped put one of the first balloon pumps in the hospital where I was working. So
wow.
That was pretty exciting. So I would say that would be one of my biggest practice things that I'm very proud of. It's great to see in practice that now everybody has their own blood pressure cuff.
I
remember as a graduate nurse, I was like, whoa, when are we going to finally get... everybody going to finally get their own cuff? So I was glad to see that. I think it was also a good moment for me when I was a nursing leader that I helped build an existing critical care tower and had the opportunity to work on the budget and all of the capital improvements that went along with that and helping to pick out all of the equipment. So that was very rewarding. And I think my most rewarding moment always as an educator is going to graduation.
Well, I would say so, because you get to see off your charges, you know.
Right. So I think that is always my most rewarding moment is not only graduation, but more specifically the pinning ceremonies. Because both Henry Ford and EMU do full graduations, but they also do a separate pinning ceremony. And what I really treasure about that is the remembrance that is given to truly the founder of nursing, which was Florence Nightingale, the lady with the lamp.
And, oh, yes.
To see that ceremony take place is very moving.
Yes, I've attended a couple of the Henry Ford ones, and I'm looking forward to attending some at Eastern here. I agree with you. I love the lady with the lamp. I love the things that she did to improve health, not only in the British military in the Crimea, but throughout England. And probably one thing I admire really about her is she came from an upper-class family and could easily have been, you know, just a socialite or something, but she chose to be, you know, to help the common man.
Exactly.
And,
right.
Yeah. I like the fact that she had pets, too.
Yes. Right. So, yeah, good old Florence.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Florence's signature?
I never have.
So, Sigma Theta Tau International Honor Society for Nursing is a, as it says in its title, is a international organization that focuses on scholarship, teaching, and service. And any nurse that is out there is considered to be a nursing leader and can join. And I've been a member since 1982, and it's probably been the only professional organization that has helped me move along in my career in all areas. But the headquarters for that organization is in Indianapolis, Indiana. And inside of the headquarters is a portrait of Florence Nightingale and has her signature there on it.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
And I have the opportunity to, I'm here with Dr. Caroline Peltz, a educator that is educator extraordinaire. But I also have a couple of students with me. Why don't you go ahead and tell me your names?
I'm Adam Subcheck.
And I'm Olivia Bird.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet y'all. I know I've seen you in the hallway and met you here at around Eastern. Nursing education. You're in your first semester?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How do you like it?
So, it's great, actually. I mean, honestly,
did you guys want me to leave? No.
No. Oh. That's a good one. That's better. That's the best one I've ever done.
We have to use humor, right?
And well, that's part of my...
I thought I'd break the tension a little bit by just chiming in. He'll edit it out. Don't worry.
Oh, no. I'm going to leave some of that in. How'd you know that's what I wrote a paper on?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Humor is important. Sometimes that's all you have left off for a patient, too, you know. But anyway, we're going to take a quick...
Rolling, Sam.
I'm rolling, so here. And we also have...
Bailey.
How you doing, Bailey?
I'm doing good.
Well, good. So you are all first semester students, I take it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
As far as nursing is concerned, anyway. How do you like it so far?
Very stressful.
Very stressful?
Yep.
Well, that's...
Absolutely stressful. It makes me consider whether this career is meant for me or not.
Well, that's always a good question. And
yeah, absolutely. Something good to always question yourself.
Well, it is good, because it's constant questioning of yourself gets you to know yourself. And if you don't know thyself, you know.
Absolutely.
You can be lost. So how about you guys? Do you think that so far you've been doing good with nursing and you like it? Or?
Yeah, it's been an adjustment. Like, before it was more knowledge-based, and now we have to apply our knowledge.
Yeah, I guess that's how I would word it as well. More so like learning the ropes again. Like, you had to learn a different way of studying before you actually got in, and then now that you're actually in, it's a different type of thinking.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm glad that you guys dropped in because, you know, I'm majoring in education, and I am curious. You know, when I learned and Carolyn learned, Dr. Peltz, I mean.
Caroline,
sorry.
If you're going to, you know, do the first name, just get it right, Sam.
Okay, I'll do that.
Just not our night. You know, like Neil Diamond wrote it on my birthday.
Well, that's right. I used to sing that once in a while, didn't I? But anyway, do you find that, you know, because I and Caroline both learned, you know, with basically the old lecture styles, things like that. Do you find that, you know, now that having grown up basically with a computer and with a cell phone and with the technologies that we have, do you find that you learn better through the old lecture styles or through the, like, active learning strategies, as they call them these days?
So, I mean, I think they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, you obviously need the lecture style
yes.
to get the information, but I feel like using the technology and actually, like, doing it, like, in, like, a lab or, like, some sort of sim lab is actually far more helpful than reading a textbook.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you find the use of simulation very helpful. Yeah.
No, definitely.
Yeah, I could see how that, you know, because I do miss... Or I didn't have that when I was in school, and I see how that can really help. Do you like the sense of reality it brings, even though it's kind of like a make-believe situation, but a real situation in real life?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. How about you? Do you like simulations?
Yeah, I like simulations. I'm more of a like physical learner, like lecture stuff like that, rather than like reading online or doing things like that, but the simulation is definitely helpful.
Well, very good. How do you guys feel about the online component of classes? I mean, I went up everything up to this point in my career has been face-to-face in the classroom.
Sometimes it's hard to keep up with, like, just the physical workload of school itself. Like, there's some classes that do part online and still part, like, paperwork and, like, actually, like, the simulation labs. Sometimes it's hard to keep up with just, like, all the work itself, and then on top of that, doing, like, online work as well.
I see, yeah.
Just my opinion.
No, that's a good opinion. I mean, that's what I'm here to explore, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you feel about it?
I mean, so, if you have, like, a lecture that is usually in class, and then it turns up to be online, it's kind of hard to follow a three-hour PowerPoint with audio over it. It's hard to kind of follow that, because, you know, like, you're kind of used to the teacher standing up in the front and you kind of taking notes, and it's kind of different when you have to do it on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you all find that, you know, you've had school before. Mm-hmm. Do you find that nursing school and the educational process of nursing is different than, you know, say, taking English classes or other your prerequisites that you may have already taken?
Yeah, I would say definitely.
A lot more work.
A lot more work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was always in that conclusion.
So would you say that taking a web-enhanced or a hybrid course is not your favorite?
It depends on the information you're learning, I feel. Like, if you're learning how to, like, do actual client care, I feel like you have to be in the classroom. It's kind of hard to learn it on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's more so something like the art, I guess, I feel like you could more so portray that online. Like, how you would treat, like, the family, or how you would, you know, do cultural assessments and stuff like that. I feel like you could read that, but, like, more so of, like, physical and health assessment, I feel like you kind of have to be in person.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, no, I was just saying, just, like, learning the actions of it, like, actually going through, like, the muscle memory, like we were talking about earlier, really helps out.
It really does. What may I ask, brought you into wanting to be a nurse? What about nursing drew you in? I mean, you're all very energetic young people, and you know, you're at the start of your careers, and what attracted you to nursing?
Well, you take this one first.
All right, so my honest opinion, or my honest answer would be, so I started off looking into engineering and stuff like that, and it turns out calculus is a lot harder than I had thought.
Okay.
And then, you know, kind of just breaking it down, and then I started looking into more of, like, the anatomy and stuff like that, and it seemed to click. So I decided to build off of that.
See, it seemed to fit your own philosophy of life, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, very good.
I knew I had some kind of interest towards the medical field itself. I always have since I was young. I actually originally wanted to go to medical school, become an anesthesiologist, and then it finally hit me the older that I got, actually, as to how much schooling that was, and that also meant how much debt I was going to be in. So I figured, you know, nursing with it, having so much fluidity with its career and having so many different fields of it, it's something that really appealed to me.
Oh, I liked it, the answer. It's similar to mine, you know, the different laterals you can make off into different areas.
Oh, absolutely.
Very good. What attracted you to nursing?
I was kind of the same as him. I always knew I'm good at math and science and wanted to, like, work in healthcare. I originally wanted to be, like, a dentist, but when I realized how much school and how much money and everything.
Ridiculous.
Oh, and all the knowledge that would have had to have been drilled into you, I suppose. Oh, that's terrible. Let me ask Dr. Peltz, what brought you into the world of nursing?
I was going to use it as a stepping stone for medicine, and then I fell in love with the discipline and decided not to go any further.
Well, that's very good. And I would have to say that you, you're one of the best at it that I have ever met.
Well, thank you, Sam. You had a personal bias. We've known each other too long.
Well, well,
I didn't pay him to say that either.
I'm a volunteer at the station. We're actually similar at NPR, but it's called PRI, which is like NPR without the government funds.
Oh, nice.
It is nice because it's totally...
gives you something to do.
It gives me something to do. I've always had an interest in music, so I got into radio as a byproduct, you know, of it. So do you find, though, that you're getting what you expected when you first got into nursing, or is it more than you think that you bargained for?
The studying?
Yes.
It's at par, I guess, I would say, because you have to learn a lot, and you have to learn, like, the study of people. You have to study... or to learn the study of how things affect people in different ways and stuff like that. And you kind of have to learn how to think on your feet and more practically rather than just studying and memorizing everything.
Well, that's true. How about you? Did you?
Yes. I'm, like, really good at memorizing and doing, like, studying that way. So it's, like, been hard to adjust, like, being able to apply the knowledge. And I think that's what a lot of nursing school is.
Yeah, it's not like a history class where you memorize the dates and pass the test, you know.
Right, I think that it was like how he was mentioning earlier, just like completely having to like change your learning style and having to change your study habits overall. So I think, for me at least, that was the part that I struggled with the most, is still trying to learn something that'll click, you know,
right.
different strategy behind it, so.
Well, that's very cool. I agree with you, because I'd gotten a bachelor's before I got into nursing, and boy, was I in for a surprise.
Yeah.
and they says, oh, you have a bachelor's. You want to get into a class that is self-paced. And I got into that, and it was good, but, you know, it's not necessarily what I really wanted to do. Well, I want to thank you all for tuning in. Anything else you might want to add?
No, it was nice getting an interview today. This is my first time doing this.
Oh, well, very cool. This will be on tomorrow, so you can go ahead and tune into it if you want.
Okay.
And we'll be emailing everybody the links.
You know, it would be kind of fun if, for Nurses Week, after they're finished with their first year of their program, that you listen to what you guys said now and then add on to it.
You know, that's true, and it will be... This show is available as a podcast, so you can always go to the site and listen to it again if you like.
Why don't you guys put down your name and your email?
Yeah.
And Sam will get it to you.
I will
and
do that.
And he can touch base with you. It's good for your resume.
It does, yeah. And I'm all into...
It's good for your resume. It shows that you have an interest in public speaking. You're a good communicator.
Well, you are. You're very articulate.
Good,
Is that another student we have out there, too?
A couple, yeah.
Oh, we're just having the pipeline. These two are done.
Yeah, that's true.
Bailey's just jumping in, right?
I should probably pause this thing for a minute. Well, yes, and we had to end our interview then because... Dr. Peltz, busy typing away and working hard, having students come in with questions about exams and upcoming things as it is nearing the end of the semester. It seems like twice the work happens in that last part of the semester. I want to thank the students and thank Dr. Peltz for allowing me to interview them. And I had interviewed Dr. Peltz before, and also, Drs. Fox and Avery and Mancy, also a student at Eastern. And I'm looking forward to being able to do more of these shows. Come Nurses Week next May, we have an extended version where my cohort that has a show after me graciously allows me to use his time to also interview nurses. And, you know, the nursing... Of course, you know, the
start of modern nursing, of course, started with Florence Nightingale, the Lady of the Lamp. During the Crimean War in the 1850s, she was appalled by the death rates at the hospital that the British were running. And a lot of it was due to very unsanitary conditions. She and 10% of the deaths in the British Army were only from battle wounds. The rest of them were from the filth of the place, the lack of sewage, the lack of rounds at night. You know, they put the patients to bed for the night, and that was it. That's why she was known as the Lady with the Lamp. She would make rounds, often with her pets. She did have a pet turtle and a pet owl, and I believe both of them are now at the Florence Nightingale Museum in London, England. She was a pioneer. She had set up the first school of nursing that is connected to a continuously operating hospital and medical school. She was a pioneer of the graphical presentation of statistical data. And I remember running across a concept map that she had done. It was very interesting. And, you know, a good thing, too, is that the field of nursing is, you know, there's over 3 million nurses in the United States, RNs. There's roughly 750,000 LPNs, 1.5 million certified nurses assistants. You also have, there still are a few orderlies and other nursing techs and other such things. So it's a very large segment of the population that is employed in healthcare, and the needs are growing phenomenally. The aging baby boomer population, which, of course, I'm a part of, I'm honored to be a part of, I'm honored to be part of the sons and daughters of the greatest generation who are now been fading. There are very few World War II veterans left, and I always want to thank them for their service, and any veteran, anybody that served in any way. That was war had the consequence of helping create nursing. In ancient times, nuns, different orders of people were committed to treating the sick and the wounded, because far more people die from wounds and that then do from the sadness of the death, you know, that is caused by the battles. So it's an easy thing to say that, you know, nursing is this and that, but the fact of it is that Florence Nightingale was the founder, and you had other important nurses that contributed over time. Agnes Hunt was the first orthopedic nurse, and was pivotal in the emergence of the orthopedic hospital, the Robert Jones and Agnes Hunt Hospital in Owestry, Shropshire, England. Agnes Jones established a nurse training regime at Brownlow Hill Infirmary in Liverpool. Linda Richards, who established quality nursing schools in the United States and was officially the first professionally trained nurse in the United States, graduating in 1873 from the New England Hospital for Women and Children. So it was very correct what Dr. Peltz referred to as nursing being a young profession, you know, and we still do kind of come along with the meals and the other things. Physicians and other disciplines have their charges. We're part and parcel with the room, but we are the largest healthcare force, and we are a force to be reckoned with. I believe that when nurses talk, politicians, legislatures do listen. They may not always bend to what we may want, but then again, you know, compromise is what the country was founded on, and is something that is somewhat of a lost art, but I have a feeling it's going to make a comeback. Clara Barton is a pioneer American teacher, patent clerk, nurse, and humanitarian, and was the founder of the American Red Cross. St. Mary Ann Cope, a sister of St. Francis, who opened and operated some of the first general hospitals in the United States, instituting cleanliness standards which influenced the development of the American's modern hospital system. So nursing is a lot religiously based. That's why nurses in England are referred to as sisters. But a lot of Catholic orders, like the Little Sisters of the Poor, the Sisters of Mercy, the Sisters of St. Mary, Sisters of Charity, and Sisters of St. Francis Health Services, built hospitals and provided nursing services during this period, which like St. Mary's Hospital in Livonia was founded by the Felicians. And, a lot of the challenges of nursing will remain for the future. I wish to thank everyone involved with helping me make this, and I wish the best to all the nursing students, and I'm looking forward to attending graduations and seeing you get pinned come this December, third, fourth week of December. And now we're going to follow this up. My cohort, Kitty Love, will be here with Highway 61, bringing you the best in blues here at WHFR-FM. I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the new journal of the WHFR station. We are a station making waves. We are an independent radio station here in Dearborn, Michigan, located on the college campus of Henry Ford College. So you all have a good day, and I'll see you in school.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Start your exciting career as a surgical technologist now. Henry Ford College has a 2-year program with a 98% employment rate. Job offers are up by 24% all over the United States. You'll graduate with an associate degree and hands-on surgical experience. Call a health career advisor today at 313-317-6845.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. It drove me crazy. It got so bad, I couldn't do my homework. I couldn't concentrate. I absolutely refused to let any of my friends come to our house for any reason. I would have been humiliated if anyone found out how much my dad drank and how loud my mom screamed at him. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful. The only thing that happened is my mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. Her relationship with my dad really changed. I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Al-Ateen. I wanted to see if I could have a better relationship with my dad. I'm sure glad I did. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Al-Ateen family group from people. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
Tomorrow, Saturday, May the 14th, fill a bag and help feed families. The post. WHFR, Dearborn, Highway 61.